We had mentioned that the secret of the Chabura of the Ramchal, the secret circle, became known and became exposed by a letter of the Talmud of the Ramchal by the name of Rabbi Kusil Gordon, who had written a letter to Vienna to a particular scholar by the name of Reb Mordechai Jaffe. And it was from there that the whole idea and all the opposition of those at the time who did not recognize, again, where the Ramchal was coming from, which caused all of his problems and the troubles. When Rabbi Gordon received the letter of Ramchal, it was in 1729. It was in the summertime, in August. Reb Mordechai Jaffe receives this letter, and all of a sudden he hears these things attributed to such a young man as Ramchal. So he reacted more with alarm than with delight. He wasn't too happy about it. And what does he do? So he sends a copy to one of the great, great people of the time, the Knesset Yecheskel, whose name was Rabbi Yecheskel Katzenelnbogen. Rabbi Yecheskel Katzenelnbogen was the chief rabbi of Alten and Hamburg. At that time was the triple community was known. Ehu, Aleph, Hei, Vov. It was three adjoining communities that had one chief rabbi, one Rav, known as Altena, Hamburg, and Wandsbek. These were the three communities. As a matter of fact, when Rav Katzenelnbogen was nifter and he passed away, who succeeded him? Rav Yosef Neibishitz. So Neibishitz was the one who succeeded and took over that rabbinical position of the triple community, Altena, Hamburg, and Wandsbek. Rav Yechetel Katzenelnbogen himself was originally, he comes from Brisk. At the time, of course, just to mention as an aside, during the period that, during the reign of Rav Yechetel Katzenelnbogen, he was the Av Bezin. Among the Balbatim that he had, who was one of his Balbatim of that Kehillah? Non-Rov, plain citizen, didn't occupy an official position. Who lived there? Rabbi Yaakov Emden. This is the type of a boss a Rov does not want. Matter of fact, the relationship started out to be quite an amicable one at the beginning, to the extent, if you look in the original print of Rabbi Yaakov Emden Siddur, which he printed himself, by the way, because he had a printing press, you'll see the Haskoma that he took. He took the Haskoma the time was from Rabbi Yecheskel Katzenelnbogen. And ultimately, again, Rabbi Yecheskel was Nifter, and then Rabbi Yosef Neibishitz came. So this Reb Mordechai Jaffe, he sends a copy of the letter, of Rabbi Gordon's letter concerning the Ramchal. He sends it to Rabbi Yecheskel Katzenelnbogen. And Rabbi Yecheskel Katzenelnbogen, he forwarded the letters. To whom did he forward it? Couldn't have done more harm to the Ramchal. He forwards it to Rabbi Moshe Chagiz, the biggest kenoi of the time. Rabbi Moshe Chagiz, who was the biggest kenoi, and he writes to my friend, he writes, the illustrious Rabbi Moshe Chagiz, the acknowledged sage in zealotry for Hashem. This is part of the title that he gives it. No, so Rabbi Moshe Chagiz gets that letter. First time he ever heard about this Ramchal, never heard about it. Never heard about such a situation. And he gets a letter from Rabbi Yecheskel Katzenelnbogen. So this was on 1729, it was already in November. So he responds very strongly. Rabbi Moshe Chagiz responds very strongly. And first of all, what he does is he sends a copy of Rabbi Gordon's letter to the various rabbinic leaders of several communities, that everybody should know about this. Everybody should know about this. Rav Moshe Chagiz also, he adds a postscript to the text, and this is what he writes. In other words, when he sends out the letters to the various rabbinic leaders, he writes his own commentary, and he writes to them as follows. He says, it's incumbent upon you, you rabbinic leaders who are the bedrock of Klal Yisrael, you are the teachers, you are the rabbonim, you are the sages and the leaders of the Jewish communities. You have to rend your garments. You have to tear kriya, he says, as a sign of mourning over this letter. And he writes to inquire and you have to investigate and to uproot this evil sect before its harm spreads to the masses. So writes Rav Moshe Chagiz. And he says, regard all the members of this evil sect as persecutors of Klal Yisrael. This is the strong and the fierce language that Rav Moshe Chagas writes, and he stirs up and encourages all the others to connect with him and to join with him in opposing the Ramchal. Interesting to point out that the note of Rav Moshe Chagas also indicates that he had no other information, by the way, knowing about Ramchal only from that letter. And it's based upon that one letter alone that it didn't need much more in order to ignite that spark within him to start again and to create all of this strong, fierce opposition. What's interesting is that he does not write exactly what was the particular thing wrong. He calls them an evil sect, an evil group. And the question was asked at the Tchila, was this response of Moshe Chagas because he suspected Ramchal and his group of Sabbateanism, being followers of Shabsai Tzvi, was that the situation? Because Emma says, when Rabbi Gordon wrote the letter to Rav Mordechai Yaffe about the greatness of Ramchal, he writes, and he alludes to a possible charge of Sabbateanism, because he warns Rav Mordechai Yaffe in advance not to compare the Ramchal to other false affairs. You notice he's already alluding to the possibility that some people might try to compare the Ramchal to having a shaychus with Shabbosai Tzvi. So the point is, Rabbi Chesel Katzenellenbogen, he clearly implies about the situation that there might be a potential problem here. There might be a potential problem that activities of the group, and he says to Moshe Chagas, this situation falls right up your alley. He writes to Moshe Chagas. In other words, thanks for telling me about it, but you know what? You're the one who owes the big kanoi. This falls under your purview. This is your job. This is something that belongs to you. So, the truth is that Moshe Chagas didn't investigate any link between the Ramchal's Kabbalah and Sabbateanism at the outset, but based everything, the Milchoma, simply on the letter that was received from this Rabbi Gordon. So now, Ramchal hears what's going on, and he hears that the Knesset Yecheskel, Rabbi Chesel Katzenellenbogen, he was the one who commissioned Moshe Chagas, so the Ramchal writes a letter in his defense to the Knesset Yecheskel, to Rabbi Chesel Katzenellenbogen. And in addition to his defense, he also writes a chiddush, a Kabbalistic chiddush. And Rav Moshe Chagas, he used that chiddush also as documentary evidence, again, even to support his cause further. And he says, this chiddush that Ramchal is writing contains blemish and doubt. And he says, in his chiddush, he says, the essence of his words constitute, I'm quoting his lashon, an apology for the heresy of Shabsai Tzvi, whom they called our Lord. So again, he sees all the more. He's trying to defend himself, and he, again, even in the defense, he only sees things black. He sees things negative. So I'm just going to conclude, for now, the way that he uses the suspicion of Sabbateanism to recruit more allies. So Moshe Chagas writes a letter to an Odom Gol of the time by the name of Reb Shimshon Morpurgo, talking about in Italy. Reb Shimshon Morpurgo was a well-known personality at the time, and basically, this is what Rav Moshe Chagas writes. I'm going to just conclude with a few lines of the letter. I'm not going to read the whole letter either. He's telling this. He writes that the upheaval began anew in Padua. That's where the Ramchal came from Padua. The upheaval began anew in Padua when one or two of the Polish men, meaning Gordon, one of the two of the Polish men caused a commotion by writing deceitful letters to distant places. This is more harmful to the masses than all of the deceptions which have preceded. He considers him to be the most dangerous. I remember, he says, he writes to Reb Shimshon Morpurgo, he says, Rav Moshe Chagas says, I remember, he says, the strength and the zealousy which you demonstrated in the holy war against the serpent. That was Reb Nechemya Chiyun that we spoke about. It was another parsha. So Rav Moshe Chagas says, use the same zealousness that you used against the serpent. He was called the Nochash, Menchem Yechiyun. Whom shall we send, he says? Yourself and Rabbi Avram Segre, another great personality, and also the famous Baal Mekubal, Rabbi Yosef Irgaz, very well known of the great Baal Mekubal of the time, because they were all those who participated in the campaign against Chiyun. So therefore we have to also again employ the same group again as Kinoim. We have to calm the masses from this false illusion, because we have no peace from them. And then he goes further, he says, I studied, he says, the Chiddush, which means that particular chiddush, that treatise that the Ramchal wrote, we mentioned before, which he sent to one of the sages here, and they found that they were right in the accusations. All his treacherous words support impurity. Again, just to give a little idea of what the Ramchal was up against in his lifetime. This is just part of it, and we'll be mamshik. All right, so we go further now. So Rabbi Yisai, let's go where we left off here. We're still in the middle of Perek Dalet. But Ramchal points out again that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds everyone accountable, no matter what his standing is in Jewish life, no matter how great they were. And he gave examples of between Avraham Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, Yosef, David HaMelech, Michal Bashol, and Chizkiyahu. V'rabim ke'elem oid, u'beperek hakel chayovim. That's what we're up to. So Ramchal u'beperek hakel chayovim. In the perek called Hakel Chayovim, which is the Masechtas Chagiga, Amru, we find that the Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan, when he came to this particular posik, a posik in Malachi, Rabbi Yochanan came to this particular verse, when he came to this posik, he used to cry. What does the posik say? The posik says, V'korafti aleichem lemishpot. The Novi says, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'korafti aleichem lemishpot, V'hoyisi eid memaher. It means that I will come very quickly to your judgment, and I will testify against what? B'mechashvim, against all of the magicians, u'b'menoafim, the adulterers, u'banishboim lashoker, and those who basically swear in vain, u'b'oishke schar socher, and those who oppress the hired hand by withholding their wages. Kitzer, people who conduct their lives, in an unjust way. The Navi, lumps together all types of avarice, from the worst kind, swearing in vain, to other kinds. So Rabbi Yochanan used to cry because he used to say, it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically equates all levels. Is that what it seems? Is that what the Pasuk is saying? HaKadosh Baruch Hu equates all types of avarice. Eved shishoiklim olav kalois kachamurois. A servant, meaning us, a servant whom is being judged, a servant who's being judged, kalois kachamuris, that the lighter, right, the lighter aveiros, the lighter transgressions, are just as serious, are equated with the chamuris as the more serious ones. Does he have any chance? Does he have any remedy? In other words, certainly, even if we're going to be careful, right, from the very serious ones, but certainly we're going to transgress the lighter aveiros. And here the posik lumps together the lighter aveiros with the bigger ones. The Ramchal comes very quickly to say, what does he mean? What does the Pasuk mean? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu equates the lighter? Certainly doesn't. The punishment and the judgment of more serious averis are a much stronger degree than the lighter ones. That's certain. Ubevadai, certainly the Pasuk does not mean, says Ramchal. Ubevadai she'en kavonas ha-maimer. Certainly the meaning of the Pasuk is not she'hiyah ho'inish al-shteyem echot. The Pasuk certainly cannot mean that there will be equal punishment for both, for lighter offenses, right, as to the more serious ones. That's not what it could mean, because we know ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino mishalem al mido keneged mido. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays measure for measure. In other words, if the offense is lighter, then the punishment is lighter. If the offense is more serious. So certainly that's not the intent, what the Gemara means, that Eved, when Rabbi Yochanan said an Eved, whose averis are weighed equally, kalis kechamuris, certainly cannot mean in terms of punishment. Because the Avada not the same. The more serious averis carry with themselves a greater einish, and the lighter averis avada nevada, a weaker einish. Because Baruch Hu certainly deals with people with mida keneged mida, measure for measure. You might remember, as is pointed out, what the Gemara tells about Chizkiyahu, Melech Yehuda, where the Gemara tells us that there was Yishai Hanovi, the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud, where Yishai Hanovi was the Novi, and Chizkiyahu was the king. Chizkiyahu said, it is not respectful that I, as a king, that I should go to visit the Novi, the prophet, because I'm a king. Consider himself to be in a higher level. And Yeshayahu the Novi says, well, I am a messenger from Hashem. I am a Novi. Hashem speaks through me. Therefore, it's not appropriate that I should go visit the king. So how do they get together? He doesn't want to visit him. He doesn't want to visit him. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is he makes Chizkiyahu sick, makes him ill. And now Yeshayahu comes to be Melech HaChayla, to visit the sick. So that's a different story. That's a different context. Someone is sick. Doesn't make a difference. Bigger or smaller. If someone is sick, you have to be Mekai and Biker Chayla. So Yishai Novi comes, and he comes to visit Chizkiyahu. No, Chizkiyahu has the opportunity to have in front of him a Novi, has Yeshaya Novi. So being that he's a Novi, he knows the future. So Chizkiyahu asks Yeshaya Novi, what's going to be the outcome of the illness? So he says to him, tell me, what do you see in your vision, in your Nevuah? So what does he say? So Yeshaya Novi says the following lashon, I want you to know, you're not going to come out of this one. You're not going to come out of this one. Ki meis ato v'loy sichye. You're going to die. And he says, you're going to die and you're not going to live. A double lashon. Ki meis ato v'loy sichye. And the Gemara explains, what does it mean? Ki meis ato v'loy sichye? Terrible news. Ki meis ato v'loy mazeh. You're going to die in this world, v'loy sichye, and you won't live in the next world either. When Chizkiyahu hears that, he's astonished, he's astounded. And he says to Yeshaya Novi, my kulahai. He says, why do I deserve this? My kulahai. So he says to him, Mishum d'lo yisakto b'piri v'rivya, because you didn't get married and you didn't bring any children to the world. The first mitzvah in the Torah is to get married. First mitzvah in the Torah is not to get married, to have children, which means you have to get married. Mitzvah piri v'rivya, pruervu. And Yeshaya says that to Chizkiyahu, that I see, this is what I see in your future. That being you're not mekayim piri v'rivya, so therefore you have this terrible einish. So Chizkiyahu defends himself and says, he says, because I saw Baruch HaKodesh, I saw the Nafkin Mini Benindle Mala, that I'm going to have a son who is a Rosha, Menashe. Menashe was a wicked person. So I saw this is going to come out of me. Someone, so what's the point of getting married and bringing such a son into the world? So Yeshaya Novi says to him, so Yeshaya says, Bahabikavshid Rahman Alamalach, you have no right to ponder the secrets, he says, the secrets of the hidden. In other words, you have a mitzvah to do. You have a mitzvah to get married and bring a child. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that it'll be a Rosha or will not be a Rosha, that's up to Hashem. He says, that's none of your business. You have to do yours. Your mitzvah is, now you can't make these cheshbonos, you can't make these calculations. You have to bring your child into the world, this is your mitzvah. The end result was, as a matter of fact, Menashe did do tshuva anyway. So the Sefer Yisrach Moshe says, still, how does it answer the question? Okay, so he wasn't mekayim a mitzvah. Deserves a punishment, but why is he ostracized completely? Why is it such a severe punishment? He wanted to know my kulahai. He didn't ask Stam, why am I being punished? He wanted to know my kulahai. What did I do that's so terrible? Ki meis ato v'loy sichye, that I'll die on this world, v'loy sichye lo'elam habo. That's what he wanted to know. So by telling him, because you are not oisik in piri v'rivya, how does it answer the question? So Yisrach Moshe comes and he says the following. We might remember the first Rashi and Bereishis Bara Elokim. Rashi says, it says, Elikim, which is Midas Adin. Hakadosh Baruch Hu uses the attribute of justice, which is very strict. Right? It doesn't say Baru Hashem. Later on we find, what do we find? Later on the terminology changes. It says, B'yoyim, when Hakadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Asois Hashem Elikim. Hashem, that's Midas Arachmim. And Elikim. And Rashi explains, in the beginning, all of B'machshov Hakadosh Baruch Hu's first, right? The first impulse, if you will, I'm just expressing it this way, because Baruch Hu is not shy of changing his mind, and that's a whole other question. But the first impulse was to create the world with Midas Adin. However, because Baruch Hu saw the world won't have a kiyum. The world cannot stand in such a way, because if you go with strict, complete strictness, no one will be able to survive. Because no one can stand strict judgment. We're not perfect. We're human beings. So therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu sort of changed the attribute, and it was Mishatev, and he combined Midas Arachmim to Midas Adin. So this Machmoshe points out the follows. It means that the original plan was to create the world very strict with Midas Adin. What changed? Because Rosh and Oilam is Kayim, because Kodesh Baruch Hu saw that the world will not have a Kiyim. So the only reason we have Midas Arachmim combined with Midas Adin is for why? For the sake of Kiyim Oilam. Says this Machmoshe, but if you're a person who is not oisik in piri v'rivya, that means you don't care about kiyum oilam. You don't care about doing your share, right? In the continuity of the world, to have the world continue. If you don't care about kiyum oilam, then the midah goes back to the original, that you're punished by midah sadin. The only reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed and does not use midah sadin, because he saw she'en oilam iskayim. That's why he was mishatim midah sarachim to midah sadin. But a person who is not oisik in period v'rivya, that means he doesn't care about kiyum oilam. You don't care about the continuity of the world. So hu adin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes back to the original plan. For you. So for you, you have very, very, very strict judgment. The nekud is, as Ramchal says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays measure for measure. The way you deal, the way your actions, this is the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with you. So Ramchal says, therefore it can't be that for the smaller aveiros, Right? For the smaller transgressions, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give the same oynish as for the more serious ones. So what does the Pasuk mean? What does the Gemara mean? An Eved, a person, right, whose Averis are all equated, are all lumped together. How could that be? How could that be? So the Gemara says, so the Ramchal says, Omnom he says, O Inyan. You know what it means? He says, Omnom Inyan, the idea that is being taught is, what it means is, Shele Inyan Mishkal Hamasim. When it says that, when the Pasuk and the Gemara seems to equate, when the Gemara said that we are equating the lighter Averis to the more serious ones, it means that they all go on the scale. But of course, the lighter ones weigh less, and the more serious ones weigh more. We're equating lighter with more severe, that don't think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu overlooks the lighter ones. No, an Avera is an Avera regardless of the degree. Of course, the punishment will be only according to the severity of the Avera. But the equation is that no matter how light or how severe they are equated, means they all go on the scale. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give you a free ride. He said, the idea is, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan was crying about. When the Gemara implies that we are equating the lighter Averis with the more serious ones, it means weighing the deeds of a person. That kach oilois bekaf hakalois kemoyachamurois. That all offenses are weighed just as the serious ones. Kilo yashkichu achamurois es hakalois. The serious ones will not cause the lighter ones to be forgotten. The person thinks that, what, that just because he has a lot of serious Averis, so Mamela, it'll cancel out the smaller ones. We'll deal only with the bigger ones. No. Just because you have more serious ones, the more serious ones will not cause Hashem to forget the lighter ones. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not ignore the lighter ones, kasha loyalim achmuris, any more than he won't ignore the more serious ones. El al kulam yashgiach, but rather Kadosh Baruch Hu will watch and oversee all of them equally. That's what it means equal, that he will judge them. He will judge them all. But of course, the consequences will not be the same. But the idea is that Kadosh Baruch Hu will watches over and oversees every act that a person does. Bahashvo achas, equally, lodun kol echad mehem, judging each one for what it is. Wolahanish achekach, and subsequently, he meets out the judgment. I'll call echot kifi mashehu, each one according to its measure, to its appropriate measure. And it is that v'hu mashe Shlomo HaMelech olav Hasholem oimer. And it is that, in fact, what Shlomo HaMelech says in Kehelis. This is what he means. He says ki es kol maase hu lekim yavi b'mishpat. What does he mean in Kehelis? He means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings every action to justice. You know what it means? It means that the same way that when it comes to a good deed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not allow any good deed, no matter how small, to go unrewarded. If you do a good deed, no matter how small, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward you for it. But reverse, the converse is also true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow any bad deed, however small, also to go unjudged. That's what Shlomo HaMelech means. Ki es kol ma'aseh lekim yavi b'mishpat. Ki kasher ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu meniach melitzker kol ma'aseh toiv. In the same way that Hashem does not allow any good deed, right, no matter how small, to go unrewarded, right? He says, Kotten kamushehu, no matter how small it is. Cain, similarly, lo yaniach melishpoit ulo yichiach kol masera, will not allow any bad deed, kotten kamushehu, no matter how small it is, to go unjudged. You might remember the case of Isoite. Ramchal talked about again midah keneged midah that he mentions. So certainly the punishment is not the same, but everything is judged. That's what it means. Nothing is ignored. That's the equation between the lighter and the more serious. The Kadosh Baruch Hu puts everything on the scale. But the punishment, of course, is measure for measure. Midah keneged midah. Isoite, of course, is a woman who is suspected by her husband that she is unfaithful because she secludes herself with a particular person. Thereby, the husband, the Torah tells us, he goes and he warns her, listen, he says, I'm very makpid, that al tistri mishploinya, don't want you to be in seclusion alone with this particular man. And the halacha is that if she, in fact, she was, after the warning, she went, she was over, and in fact, she went against the husband's words, and she was secluded, the witnesses that she was secluded with that particular person. So she has to drink from the special waters. This waters had the special powers because it had certain passages of the Torah written in it and put into it. And thereby, when she drank it, if she was guilty, if she did something wrong, then her stomach would blow up, and of course, in her thigh would, and she would pass away. judgment would be meted out right there by drinking the Mai. Of course, we don't have access to any of this Mai today. In this situation, we have no powers of that. This was only the time when the Beis HaMikdash was around. However, she was innocent. However, she was innocent, and that means that she went through a terrible, terrible process of embarrassment. The water proved her innocent. Then she'll be rewarded. And she'll be rewarded that if she didn't have any children till now, automatically she will have a child. If she had children that were not maybe so smart, she'll have children smarter. If she had children that skin was not so fair, because what will reward her that whatever her situation was before, things will be enhanced for the better. In quality, in quantity, in various ways, she'll be rewarded. And the question that Rabbi Lapian asks, he says, even if she's found innocent, why is she rewarded? She was over Nisr. She had yichud with a man. That's a definite aveira. Whether she did something in the room privately or not, she was proven innocent. The water proved her innocent. But the mere fact that she secluded herself, right? She's a married woman. She secluded herself, right? Especially she was warned by the husband, which just adds to it, but it's an issur of yichud anyway, right? There's an issur of yichud. So she definitely did an aveira. And if she definitely did an aveira, so why is she rewarded if she turns out to be innocent? The first part is not innocent. Rabbi Lapian says, because true, she did an aveira. And for an aveira, one deserves punishment. The embarrassment that one goes through with this whole process of drinking the mayim and being suspected and being accused, Hashem is able to measure exactly how much embarrassment a person deserves and what is beyond. For the aveira of yichud, all of the process that she undergoes drinking the mayim is beyond what she deserves for being oivrim yichud. And for that extra, she's going to be rewarded. In other words, Hashem takes into account every drop and every step and every molecule of the experience that this was caused to her. True, she deserved to be punished because she was over on yichud. But the embarrassment and the tzar that she's undergoing through the drinking the mayim, if she's proven innocent, the Torah felt she did not deserve that much. And if she did not deserve that much, she's going to be rewarded instead. And that's why she'll match again, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu again goes exactly midah keneged midah. You're not going to get a crumb of extra tsar which you don't deserve. There's a reason for everything. Whatever happens, there is a reason. We may not know the reason, we may not understand the reason, but there's a reason and there's a purpose. And therefore, there's a cheshbon for everything. So that's the nekuda. So here we have it. Just to mention, it's said about from Reb Zalman Mevilna. Reb Zalman Mevilna, of course, was the brother of Reb Chaim Volozhin. He was the brother of Reb Chaim Volozhin, the two great, great Gedoyla Hador. I mean, the Bikiyas, the knowledge of Zalman Volozhin was so great that people almost had difficulty to try to define what is the difference between him and the Bikiyas of the Goyin. The Goyin was the greatest of all, and yet, for general people, the general public would be hard to discern how to be able to define exactly where lies the extra greatness of the Goyim. Because if Zalman's Bikiyas was a type of unusual, unheard of type of the Bikiyas. And the knowledge that he had, Reb Zalman of Volozhiner, and to that he was so humble, was a tremendous, tremendous son of. It is said about Reb Zalman that it was on Erev Yom Kippur. He came on Erev Yom Kippur, someone came to ask Mechila from his friend on Erev Yom Kippur, and his friend did not want to allow himself to be appeased. He didn't want to accept the Mechila. Didn't want to be Moichel. And he says, listen, Al Pidin, this is what you did to me. And by the way, it was Moitzi Shemra. The Aveira was that this other person, he let out a Shem, a false rumor, which wasn't true. That's the worst thing you can do about someone. That you spread a rumor about someone which is totally, totally untrue. Therefore, you're ruining a person's reputation and so on. That's called Moitzi Shemra. Al Pidin, you don't have to be Moichel for Moitzi Shemra. That's Aloch. Al Pidin, for Moitzi Shemra, you ruined me. You ruined me. How do you take it back? How do you fix this up? So you're asking me, Michil, Al Pidin, you don't have to be Moichel. Rizalma saw that. He was very young. And he goes over to the person, to the victim, who did not want to be Moichel because he was the victim of Moitzi Shemra. And he says to him, you know, the Gemara says in Bav Metzia Daf Lamed. The Gemara says, Lo Yichorvo Yerushalayim. The reason that Yerushalayim was destroyed was because Shehemidu Divrayim or Dineim Al Din Torah. Because all of their judgment was based upon the Din of Torah. That's why Yerushalayim was Chorev, because all of the judgment was based upon Din Torah. So that's good. What else is supposed to do? That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to pass judgment according to Din Torah. So what does it mean your shlaim became charev because they complied with Din Torah? So the Zalmus and Lojner says, I'll tell you what the pshat is. The truth is the Yidden did many averis at the time during the Zman of the Churban. Yidden did all kinds of averis. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges Midah Keneged Midah. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to himself, I'm going to judge you the way you judge your fellow man. In other words, if somebody does an avlat to you, if somebody does a discretion against you, right? Discretion against you. And you, right? And you are big enough to be able to overlook it. And you are big enough to go lifnim mishuris adin. That's called mavir al midaisav. You're able to overlook, even though someone did an avlat to you. However, you're able to be a mavir al midaisav. So midah keneged midah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in the same way that you're a mavir al midaisav, you're able to overlook what somebody else did to you, I'm also going to do the same to you. L'chorva Yerushalayim, the problem Yerushalayim was, shehemidu devreim al din Torah. They followed exactly the letter of the law. They didn't want to go beyond. If the halacha says I don't have to be meichel, I'm not meichel. Because Baruch says, you know what? Then I'll also deal strict with you. I don't have to be meichel you either. Unless you do it, of course you can repent, but if you didn't, or somehow that, then there's no reason for me to show leniency to you. You didn't show any leniency with your fellow man either. So Rabbi Zalman says, I'm a Tzarev Yom Kippur. Who knows? Who knows? Your judgment Shemaim. You want Hashem to judge you favorably, even beyond Lifnei Mishuras Adin. Might be a good idea. You should be Meichel the other person, even though you don't have to. But by you going beyond the letter of the law, by going Lifnei Mishuras Adin to the other Yid, then this may turn around to benefit you greatly in the judgment of Yom Kippur. This is the advice that Rabbi Zalman Lojner gave him. So again, this is the idea again that Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is how Kadosh Baruch Hu works. It works with the principle of Midah Keneged Midah. Continues the Ramachal further. So Ramachal Ulahoitzi, the purpose of that posik that we mentioned, the purpose of the posik just mentioned, Shlomo Melech says, Kes kol ma'asa likim yovi b'mishpat, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in fact will bring everything to judgment. He says the idea is, the idea of this purpose is to counteract Milev Horoitzim Hispatois from those who allow themselves to be persuaded, the Lachshoiv, and who think Shloyale Ho'odoim Baruch Hu. They think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not bring up the Din of his judgment, Hadvarim HaKalim. People allow themselves to be talked into or to be persuaded by saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not include in his judgment, you know, the smaller Averis. Vayika Cheshben Aleim. And he will not keep a Cheshben. He will not acquire an accounting. But you have to understand that in fact there is a rule which the Gemara says in Bava Kamma Daf Nun, whoever says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a vatran means he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically overlooks things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care that much. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a vatran. So the Gemara says, Yivotru ma'oihu, then his own insides will be overlooked. It means to say is, then Hashem will deal with you also that way. Which means to say is, if you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hefker, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deal with you also in a way that is hefker. V'chein omron also, says the Gemara Chagiga, Imoim alecha yetzer hara. The yetzer hara comes and says to you, and this is what the yetzer hara tries to persuade and seduce a person, entice a person. Yetzer hara tries to tell a person, chatei, don't worry about it, sin. Sin at your leisure. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu moichalach, don't worry, Hashem will forgive you. Hashem doesn't care what you do, go ahead. So the Gemara says, Al tishma aloi, do not listen to the yetzer hara. As he points out, v'zeh dover poshut imavurer. And this is, Ramchal, what I'm telling you, I want you to know, this is very clearly spelled out, gihine keilemes Hashem, because Hashem is the God of truth. And therefore truth demands truth. V'hu ma shomar Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu said all of Asholem. Hatzur tomim po'oloi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his actions are complete, they are perfect. Ki kol derochav mishpat, because all his ways are just. There is nothing injustice, there's nothing crooked. Hashem's ways are totally, totally straight. Which means, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a world of justice, so therefore, it would be the same type of a miscarriage of justice. In other words, in the same way, if Hashem would turn a blind eye to someone who deserves credit. Everybody would say, well, an injustice, I deserve reward. Well, the same way it would be a miscarriage of justice that Hashem would turn a blind eye, right, to Averis. There's no blind eye to anything. Hashem rewards the smallest good deed, and also, as Ramchal said before, the person is held accountable also for the smallest Averis. And he's saying that over and over again in so many different ways, in order that we drive this home point, this point home to understand this. And he says, therefore, Al Kain, Im Mishpat Huroitze, that being that Hashem really carries and conducts his ways with justice, Tzorach Sheyiten L'chol Ish, Kidrochov U'Kupri Malolov, because Baruch Hu pays every person according to his conduct, and according to the results of his actions, betachlis hadigdut, with the strictest of precision, ben l'toif, ben l'mutav, whether for good or for bad. Behind him, that's what it means, keil emuna ve'ein ovel tzadik v'yosher hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is a faithful God. There's no avlis by him. Everything is righteous and everything is straightforward. So the point is, this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts his world. Exactly with precise tzedek u'mishpat, and therefore it was said taki by the Balamuser, Hatzur tomi poloi kichol drochov mishpat. This is something which is said by tzedek adin when a person suffers a loss of a close family member that would require one to say shiva, sit shiva with. So then one has to recite by the kvura, by the levaya. He says he's makabel es adin hatzur tomi poloi. It's called tzedek adin, accepting the judgment of Hashem. So the Balamusa point out, it's also the name of Rousseau Salanter, the name of others as well, that a melabos of Adam, if one commits an offense, and let's say this person is imprisoned, the truth is the punishment goes beyond the person, beyond the defendant, because he may have a wife, he may have children. Take away the breadwinner, put him in jail. So ultimately you're not just punishing the person, right, who committed the crime, but ultimately the wife is punished, he has brothers and sisters, anybody who's related or friends, neighbors, people are connected, everybody suffers a measure of tzar, depending how close they are to the defendant, and so on and so forth, with the relationship with the defendant. However, a melabos of Adam, or an earthly court, has no way, right, to neutralize this. And a person who commits an offense, a person who commits a crime, they punish him, even though the offshoot of that punishment, right, carries with it many, many consequences for other people as well, who are innocent. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not like that. When something happens to a person, and other people who are surrounded, right, and are related, have a relationship with that person, suffer indirectly, it means that Hashem has measured out exactly that this is what's supposed to happen. You know, if not, then this person couldn't have gotten this kind of a punishment either. So Hashem makes sure that all the people that surround the particular defendant also are recipients only of that which is just. Hatsur Tom and Poloi ki called the Rochav Mishpat. Called Rochav means the people that surround the punishment. It means everything that takes the consequences and the offshoot of everything that happens. And that's something certainly no Melech Bas Adam is able to measure out and certainly can't avoid. But Kadosh Baruch Hu is not like that. So all the side effects that come out as a result of a particular punishment of a particular person is also Alpi Mishpat. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is tomim pa'aloi. Whatever he does is with complete perfection. Ki chol drochav mishpat keil emuna ve'novel. There can't be any avlat to someone who doesn't deserve it. There can't be any avlat. So if there are side effects based upon an oinish to a particular person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, and to that degree that's going to happen, that's exactly is what's intended. And then we go further. When it says keil emuna ve'novel, sheper shu zechoinam levrocha. So which in fact was explained, explained by Chazal and Tainus. It means Kelemuna ve'novel, it means Letzadikim v'lirishoyim. It means that Kadosh Baruch Hu again, that Kadosh Baruch Hu does things, it doesn't make a difference if you're a tzaddik or you are a rosho. Kadosh Baruch Hu judges everyone with the same precision, with the same correctness, kikachi amido. Because this is the standard for everybody. Val hakoil hu don, val kol chet hu ma'anish, the ein lehim ole, and there's no way of escaping. This is the mid of Hashem, and this is the hanhog of Hashem. So Ramchal goes on and he asks and he says, if that's the case, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is so strict in punishment, So where's the Midas HaRachmim? We know that Kadosh Baruch Hu conducts the world with Midas HaRachmim. Right? So if Kadosh Baruch Hu conducts the world with Midas HaRachmim, with compassion, where does compassion come in? If it's exactly Midah Keneged Midah, measure for measure, so there's no way to wiggle out of this. So where's the Midah of compassion? Where does Midas HaRachmim come in? How does it play a role? How does this play out together with Midah Keneged Midah on the one hand? How does Midas HaRachmim, right? How does Midas HaRachmim work within the framework of Midah Keneged Midah? So Ramchal says, I'll tell you, on top of Midah Keneged Midah, there's still a lot of room for Midas HaRachmim, and I'll tell you why. And he gives a number of examples. He starts out to ask, Vim Toimar. So you might ask, and you'll have a question. Im kei Midas HaRachmim, Loma Hiyo Medis. You'll say, that's the case, then the Midah of HaRachmim, the Midah of compassion, the Midah of Rachmonis, right? Where? How does this enter? How does this come in here? Kivin shal koponim tzorch ledagdik bedin al kol dover. Bin the Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? Has to be precise, has to be exact. And everything is carried out to its fullest precision. So where does Midas HaRachmim come in? How and when does the Kodesh Baruch Hu use Midas HaRachmim? As he points out, HaTshuva, I want you to know, the answer is, Vadai Midas HaRachmim hi kiyuma shel olam. Don't you worry that it is only because Midas HaRachmim that the world is able to stand, that the world can hold out. And I'll explain to you, says Ramchal, that in spite of the fact that we have Midah Keneged Midah, there's justice, there's precision, with all of that, there still is Midas HaRachmim combined. Because without Midas HaRachmim, then nothing begins. The world couldn't exist at all. So there has to be Midas HaRachmim. So you'll ask me how, where does it play? How does it come into play? How is it in the Anhog of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Midah Keneged Midah? How do you combine these two attributes? Says Ramchal Ve'af Al Pikein. And even though there is Midas HaRachmim, Ein Midas HaDin Loike, it does not cancel out Midas HaDin, which is the Midah of Justice. In other words, there's Midas HaRachmim combined with the Midah of Din. Why? Because I'll tell you. If you would not have Midas HaRachmim, you know what would be the outcome every time? It's not for Midas HaRachmim, says Ramchal. Kilefi shuras ha-din mamish. Because according to the exact letter of the law, hoyeroyu, it would have been appropriate, sha'achoyte yeyonish miyat tekev lechetoy, that a sinner should be punished right on the spot, b'li amtona klal, without giving him a chance to repent. If not for Midas HaRachmim, you sin, you should be punished right away. Why do I have to wait? If they give you 30 days, if they give you 6 months, sometimes Kodesh Baruch Hu is an Erech HaPaim, right? He sometimes gives you years. You think that Kodesh Baruch Hu forgot. That, by the way, works against you many times. A person knows within his heart. He knows all of the Averes that he did. And yet he sees things are going his way. Baruch Hashem, his Panos is fine. He's marrying off his children. Everything is fine. He says to himself, I must be a tzaddik, he says to himself. So everything is going my way. He doesn't realize that Kodesh Baruch Hu has a good memory. Kodesh Baruch Hu forget. He's being Erech HaPaim. He's hoping and hoping that you come to your senses. Because the end of the day, there is going to be an accounting. If not for Midas HaRachmim, though, this would not exist. A person would be Chayte, then Yeyonish Miyad would be punished, right? Immediately take of Lechete B'liam Tonaklal. That's number one. Second of all, if you would only have Midas HaDin Vegam. And also he said, Sheho'oinish Atzma Yibach Reinaf. And also that the punishment basically would come with anger. There's a difference, again, in the quality of the punishment. If it's with anger, or it's with compassion, right? That's another chilek. If it goes strictly with the letter of the law, then the punishment would come with charinaf. Koroyu, which by the way, basically one would deserve. Lemi shimamre pi aboyre yizbarach shimoy. If one goes against the word of the creator of the world, the melech malach hamlochim, he would deserve al pishuras hadin, that the punishment is meted out with anger. It's not meted out with anger. Why? Midas HaRachmim. It's not meted out immediately. Why? Midas HaRachmim. And then he goes further. V'shaloi yiyu tikun lechet klal. And furthermore, according to the shuras hadin, there should not have been a way to be able to atone for the avera. You sinned, right? You do the time. You did the avera, so now you deserve the punishment. Measure for measure. You did it. Pay for it. You bought the item. Send in the money. But Midas HaRachmim allows a person to atone. Midas HaRachmim allows a person to find the tikkun. Because that means he tries to explain. Look what he says. He gives you an example. See, we don't understand when you do an Aveira, so you think you just did an act, but there's no consequences other than the fact is that you defied Hashem. In other words, Hashem said, don't do this. I did it, so I defied Hashem. So now I repent. It's not true. It's much more than that. There's tremendous destruction and kilkul takes place when a person does an Aveira. We don't see it with our eyes. But tremendous destruction, as we said, there's a yurid in the world, you bring in, you change the atmosphere of the world to an atmosphere that is filled now. You add it to the yurid, to the disgust, you add it to the immorality of the world, you add it to the tum in the world. Every avera, and the hefech also, every mitzvah is the opposite, we already spoke about that. Now, we ask a question. If a person goes and cuts off someone's arm, and then he wants to repent, and he means it seriously, with all the repentance in the world, that arm will not grow back. So in spite of all of the tshuva that you might want to do, but the kilkul, the damage is still done. So the truth is, when you do an aveira, says Ramchal, with all the repentance, with all the tshuva that you do, the arm is still chopped off. The damage is there. So al pishuras hadin, the tshuva should not help. Why? Because you're not fixing the damage. The damage is still there. So therefore, says Ramchal, when a person does an aveira, kihine be'emes, eich yisakin o'odom, you tell me, says Ramchal, how are you actually rectifying asher ives? How are you rectifying that which you ruined? V'achet kvar nasen. Harei she'rotzach o'odom es chaveiro. Imagine, he says, in human terms, if someone goes and he murders his fellow, harei she'noach, or he commits immorality, he can't overturn the act. He can't take the act back. The act is done. The damage is done. Right? He causes an explosion. Now you repent. Is the building up again? No, the building is still destroyed. So what's the repentance? Yeah, if you build up the building again, that's another story. But if the type of it, but if the building is not, or you killed someone, you can't bring him back to life. When you do an aveira, you don't understand the ruination that it causes. And in spite of your tshuva, I would think that this ruination still remains there. So I'll be sure as Adini says, how can you be misakin that? Hayuchel lehoser hamasa ha'osim in hametzias. Are you able to really wipe out from reality that which has already been done? So according to Midas Adin, your tshuva really should not be considered a tshuva either. Omnom, however, he says, Midas rachmim hi. That's why comes the mid of compassion. The mid of rachmim hi hanoisenes. Hefech ha'shloish yedvorim shechazacharnu. Midas HaRachim overturns the three things that would have existed if we only had Midas HaDin. Dahainu, number one, because of Midas HaRachim, you do have time. Because we mentioned before, one of the three things, if you would have only had Midas HaDin, you would not have had time. But because of Midas HaRachim, he says, Sheyitin Zman L'Choyte. We give an extended amount of time to the sinner of Lo Yikochid Min Ha'aretz Miyad Kishechoto, that he should not be destroyed from the world as soon the moment that he sinned. Number two, the shoinish atzmoi, the oinish itself should not be so strong, that the oinish should not be total. And thirdly, and also Kodesh Baruch Hu allows and accepts tshuva. This is strictly an act of chesed, this is an act of benevolence, it's an act of chesed gomor, al pidin tshuva doesn't make sense, because the kills of the damage is still done. You can't have the arm grow back, the arm that you cut off. The act of Ritzicha that you did, you can't bring the person back to life. And yet if you do tshuva, tshuva helps for all types of averis. Even though the metzias is not changed, you cannot rectify the metzias. Why? The chesed, what Hashem says, I don't go by the act, I go by the rotzen. I go by your mind, what you have in your mind. Which means, shetechoshev akiras harotzoin kakiras hamaisa. It's a chesed that Hashem says that if you, what you can do is change your will. Before I wanted to sin, before I wanted to do the Avera, from now on I don't want to sin. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, uprooting the will, I will consider like uprooting the act. Even though the act cannot be uprooted, the act is done, the ruination is there, the damage can't be overturned. But Hashem says, but you can change your will. The original will can be changed. So Hashem says, I will take and accept the uprooting of your will, the original will, to be considered as if you actually uprooted the maaseh. That's not al pidin. That's clearly out of rachman, that we consider this to be the same. The haine as he says, the akiris haratzin is kakiris hamaisa. The hainu should be yois hashav makiris chetoy. And why am I doing that? Because you mean it seriously. Because you have a lot of charotim. You have a lot of remorse. You have a lot of regret. Hashem says, should be yois hashav makiris chetoy. When the person does tshuva recognizes his chet, umoydeboy, and he admits it. One of the essential, Rabbi Simon, one of the essential components of tshuva is to recognize, to acknowledge your chayte. Don't make excuses. The nature of people always to make excuses, always to blame everything or somebody else. Everybody is at fault, not me. You know, not me. You always have a reason why it's somebody else. Always has to do it. Blame the weather, blame the car, blame the wife, blame the... Always somebody's at fault. The first step in tshuva is to be moide. You recognize, you acknowledge. That's what the video is all about. I acknowledge I was chayte. And in fact, he understands, right? He understands the bad that he did, the shav, and he does tshuva, he repents, umischaret, and he regrets all of charote gemura demikare. He regrets totally all the way back. In other words, there's two types of regret. There's a way a person says, you know what? I regret in the sense that from now on I'm not going to do it. But that what I did then, for then it was okay. But now I'm changing. From now. That's not enough. Your regret has to be that you hope and you wish that if you can go back in time, you never would have done it. That's what charot. Charot is not just something, a behavior that only has consequences from now on. Regret means that you have to regret that you ever have done it before. Not that you're just going to, from now on, you're not going to do it. Okay, from now on, I'm a different person. No, not from now on. From now on, physically, you're going to do it different. But in your mind, your regret is charot de mikara, the halavai, I wish I never would have done it. As he points out, it's similar to charotas haneder mamish, just like when you're mater neder, right? You come to neder and you have a pesach charotas. So you come to the chacham, you come to the bezin, and the bezin, how are they mater neder? You made a vow, right? And they want to be able to nullify the vow. They ask you, had you known originally when you made the vow that it would have come to this and this, would you have made it? And the guy says, no, I never would have made it. He says, charota dimikore. That's how tshuva is supposed to be. Tshuva is supposed to be charota dimikore. The same way that we uproot a neder by having charota all the way back from the beginning. It's not from now on and you want to change it. But you're saying to yourself, had you known that it would come to this, then you never would have made the neder. It's not that it was okay at the time. Now I want to change. Charota dimikore means that you have to come to realization, had you known then what you know now, you never would have made it. That's what tshuva is. That according to your new hakor, according to your new understanding, then you have charota all the way back. We're just going to stop here for now, because this is an important nekudis, which there's no time to elaborate on it, which we'll Bez Hashem next time. I just want to mention, the next year, next Wednesday is occupied, so we're going to have to resume again after Shavuos, the Wednesday after Shavuos. I just want to mention to you, Rabbi Isai, because I want to conclude, which the Ramchal, as we started, again, was today and last week and the week before, the Ramchal points out, Kadosh Baruch Hu basically does not overlook any of the Averis, everything has a Cheshbon, everything is Midah Keneged Midah. It doesn't make a difference, as he says, L'tzadikim v'l'rishoyim. I just want to tell you something. It was a very fascinating thing. There was a Yid who lived in Bnei Brak. There was a Yid who lived in Bnei Brak who passed away. And he left behind a son. And the son went off the derech. Totally against the derech of the father. The father was an Erlich Yid. The father was a Shomer Torah mitzvahs. And the son went off the derech. The father passed away. So the son went off the derech. I think his father doesn't see anyway. His father's not here. Kozman's father was alive, knew. He has to answer to his father. Doesn't want to embarrass his father. Doesn't want to hurt his father. His father was Nifter. So now the son went off the derech. A short time after, the son was Nifter. They came and told this to the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says, his father called him to Din Torah to the Olam Ha'emes. Why are you doing this now? The Chazon Ish said, this was the Chazon. You thought that your father's not here. It's Hefker. He says, your father called... He called him to Din Torah, said to the Yerlam Wemes. What's an interesting thing, this is known in Lakewood, this is a Maisa that circulated for a long, long time, that Rabbi Aaron Kotler, the Chayin Lavrocha, in one of his shiurim, he mentioned a Chassam Sofer. And he mentioned a Chassam Sofer in one of his shiurim, and he said, and he argued with a particular Chassam Sofer, and it seems that when he argued against the Chassam Sofer, he expressed himself in a way which sort of like slighted the covet of the Chassam Sofer. That was a shiur that he said was on a Friday night. He said, that Friday night, he says, his Rebbetzin overturned by accident a pot of hot water, and she got burnt. Motzei Shabbos, Reb Aaron repeated the shiur for another group, the same shiur, and the same thing. What happened subsequently, his daughter went on the street, and she fell, and she seriously bruised herself. Reb Aaron saw in this, nothing happens b'derech mikre, nothing happens by chance. And he says, that the emesis, the punishment that happened is because of me. Because apparently I did not extend enough kovet to the Chassam Sofer, he said. Did not extend enough kovet to the Chassam Sofer, and therefore they became punished. So they asked, but if the oynish was because what you said in the Chassam Sofer, then you should have been punished. So Varen said, but I was saying a shir. So he says, the koich ha-toyre protected me, but they didn't have the koich ha-toyre. So the oynish came on them. Just a fascinating way to explain how the things work. He believed that this was an oynish for what he did, but being within the context of the shir, he said, the koich ha-toyre of the shir, he says, protected him, but they didn't have that koich ha-toyre. So the oynish instead of him went on them. So it's an interesting thing. The story was told over to Rav Shach those days, many, many years ago. And Rav Shach says, what do you learn from the Maisa, said Rav Shach. He says, what you hear from the Maisa, the Galut Chassam Sofer, that Shemaim takes up for the Kovet Chassam Sofer. He says, I the opposite, he says. Avada Chassam Sofer is great. I see the Galut of Reb Aaron. He said, because there's so many people who sin in many different ways and don't receive the Yoinish right away. Reb Aaron got the Yoinish immediately, and he understood. It takes a big person to understand and to calculate his Maisa, and not to take things with indifference, but rather realize that there is a cheshbon. There's a cheshbon of things than a fact that happened. So these are the Gedolei Yisrael. The greater that they were, they didn't say, no, it's not happening to me. I'm great. As Ramchal said, everything is weighed, but however, there's a Midas HaRachamim together. And the Kushbok extends the Midas HaRachamim. And the Zchus of Midas HaRachamim, that is the Zchus of Kim Oilon, and that is the Zchus which sometimes gives us the wake-up call to be able to be Mesakan HaMaisim, Kol Zman, there still is time.